And so one of the questions to ask is, how do I redeem this time? How do I take this time in this fallen world? And how do I offer it as a sacrifice? How do I redeem it and how do I make it holy? And the reason I think that's such an interesting question is that the answer is not to squeeze every last millisecond out of it in productivity. And the answer is not to sit back and do nothing. But the answer could be either one of those, right? I mean, like, there are times when the best thing you can do to redeem the time is to sit down and do nothing. The best thing you can do to redeem the time might be to read a book. The best thing to do with the time might be to play with a kid, right? And there are other times that the best thing to do with the time is to not sleep and work your everlasting tail off to get something done that's really important that needs to be done, to drive all night to help a friend, to sit up and mourn with somebody who's suffering. In other words, there's not a formula here, but it is a question that I think can be really important. You're like, well, I don't know what that means. Exactly.
Hello, and welcome back to the Be Unbound podcast. I'm your co-host, David Rethemeyer.
And I'm your co-host, Jonathan Brush.
And today, it's just the two of us in the studio today, and we just wanted to have a conversation about something that impacts all of us, because all of us either have too much of it or not enough of it, and there's different problems that come with both, and that is time and figuring out what to do with it. And Jonathan, this is something that I've been thinking about quite a bit. I've thought about it over the years as I've kind of grown into adulthood and transitioned into various stages of life, but I've just seen a lot of different people struggle with, and it's been interesting to see, especially a lot of people kind of in the young adult and early adulthood age bracket who are struggling with this really interesting issue where they are doing their best to, you know, at their job, and so they're working, you know, 8 or 9 to 5 or so. And then they're going to church services, you know, two times a week or so. Maybe they have an extra Bible study or something like that. But then a lot of their evenings, they have this big old block of time where they don't really have any specific commitments. And for some of them, they're saying, well, you know, I just kind of end up filling it with things that I know aren't the best things to do, but I don't know anything better to do than to just, you know, play a game or watch TV or do whatever else there is. And I'm just trying to figure out what it looks like because I don't have anything pressing that I need to do. So what do I actually do with my time that's productive? And if there's not a straightforward answer to that, it's a really interesting question to wrestle with. I thought I'd just kind of kick that around a little bit and just see if you had some initial thoughts on, you know, what we can tell some of these young adults who might be challenging to us some of this.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting kind of conundrum and some problem. And I don't know that it's new. I remember having some of the same thoughts, and I'm not a young adult and haven't been for a while, but I remember having some of the same struggles when I was that age as well, exactly what to do with the time. And I think there's a thing to sort of think about and to look at here. I'm skeptical, David, and I know you share some of this, of anything that looks normal. It's like, you know, when you grow up not normal, then you kind of get to be skeptical of normal. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but I think mostly it's an asset. And, you know, if you look at this, there's two normals to go here, right? You know, I think culturally, you would either have this hustle culture that says, well, clearly you should be filling every spare second in something to do with advancing your career or whatever. And you know, there could be a whole thing there. And then there's on the other side, there's kind of a leisure culture that says, you know, the point here is to have fun. So the more video games you play, the more vacations you can take, the more whatever. And it's not that those are all completely wrong. It's just I think they're pretty suspect. They're also pretty well-worn. Like at this point, in an age of thousands of podcasts, including this one, and thousands of self-help books and, you know, blogs and memes and all this kind of stuff, that's not hard information to find. But like most things, I think there's something a little deeper here that's worth looking at. And from a Christian perspective, and particularly a practical Christian perspective, I think this is one of those places where our faith really does inform, but not in a way that's like we find a Bible verse that tells us how to use our time, although there's some pretty solid ones in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, but more in the kind of base root principles and ideas here. So David, I was thinking about this in terms of sort of three R words. So the difference between recreation, redemption, and rest.
Okay.
And to pull that apart a little bit, I think we want to encourage people, young adults certainly in this case, but people in general, to be thinking more of redemption, less of recreation, but not at the cost of rest. And I think being able to sort of pull those apart ends up being really important. Now, just to be clear, I'm not against recreation, but I'm for recreation when it becomes a form of recreation that you're kind of doing, acting in the image of God, or if it's connected to rest. And I think that there's a really important context and a really important idea here of rest, that we are not called to do everything. This would be kind of against the hustle culture idea, that there are times for us to trust God, that there are times for us to release. And we can talk about that a little bit, or kind of go deeper that even on another episode. Mm-hmm. But I think that what happens is we have this focus on recreation, which is more the leisure thing. You know, like to be able to have time to do whatever I want to do, or to just, you know, veg out, to sit down and watch a movie, or to, you know, have some me time. Those things are not always wrong, but a constant diet of that can be really unhealthy. Versus redemption, which is, what does it mean to redeem the time? And that's the question, I think, you know, if we just did this whole, you know, adult thing about asking questions-based paradigm, I think that's the place we want to start. It's not so much I want to say, hey, this is how you should treat your time, this is how you should use your time. It's more, what is the question to ask? And the question that I have found really helpful in my life is, how do I redeem the time? Because redeeming the time has an element of purpose to it, and it has an element of urgency to us. You know, if something should be redeemed, it should be just sitting on the shelf. And if something's to be redeemed, it's for something. And asking that question can help us maybe get to a little deeper aspect of what it is that we should be doing with our time.
Interesting. Okay. So, Jonathan, help me pull apart a little bit more exactly what you mean by redeem. Because I think, especially in Christian culture, that's just a word that's just like, oh, we find redemption through Christ. And it's just like, oh, how do we, even in the context, like I've heard, you know, like, oh, how do you redeem this thing? It's just sort of like, oh, almost this Christianese word of like, how do you take this normal thing and like make it holier or like more Christian, essentially? Like, I feel like that's kind of the mindset that a lot of people come to that word from. So can you explain a little bit more of what you mean?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and you've got it, and you had an interesting phrase there, to make it more holy or more Christian. And I would like to reject one and accept the other, right? Like,
okay.
Like I think more Christian implies a whole set of cultural Christianity that is generally unhelpful, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very suspicious of making music more Christian, of making movies more Christian. I mean, that's often an excuse to lower the quality and put in some really blunt messages that are often not particularly useful, right?
I've heard some friends who are in the Christian music industry of Jesus is per minute instead of beats per minute.
Yes.
For Christian songs.
It's a quick side of soapbox. We're in the education arena, and occasionally we run across educational platforms that purport to be Christian. And basically the way they brand that is that they ask students to provide like supporting Bible verses for any question.
Oh,
well, look,
gosh.
I think that, you know, a biblical understanding is essential for life, period. So, I mean, you're not going to find somebody more militant and more excited about biblical justifications for things than I am. But when you go in and you like search for proof verses for, you know, your psychology and sociology texts, there's just a weirdness that happens there that is basically a recipe for how to teach people how to take the Bible out of context and not fully understand it. And so the intent might be good, but the execution is so bad as to ruin the intent. And it's a deep flaw. I mean, it's not, this isn't like an opinion or kind of like a pet peeve. This is a great way to destroy somebody's faith, to make it less important, to take the emphasis off. I think it's actually a subtle and highly effective tactic of the enemy. So
yeah, it trivializes it.
That's a much better way of saying it. It trivializes it to the way that makes it unimportant, and then you disregard it. So we don't want to make it more Christian in that context, but more holy, we absolutely want to make it more holy. And asking this question, how do I redeem this time, is to some level a question of how do I make this time holy? And to kind of delve into sort of the theological background of this a little bit is that, you know, look, you know, God created a perfect world that was holy. And then sin entered that world, and we live with the results of that curse and that fall. And so it doesn't take, I don't know if it was Chesterton or I think it was Chesterton that said, you know, the only empirically provable part of the Christian faith is that original sin, right? I mean, like, you can look everywhere and see that. Mm-hmm. I would say in the natural world where I live, poison ivy and mosquitoes are poison ivy, mosquito, and ticks are absolute phenomenal evidence of our fallen world, right?
Hey.
Stinging nettles are a close second, by the way, just in case those of you who hike know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, you have this situation where you live in a world that has fallen, and yet you are called to holiness. And so one of the questions to ask is, how do I redeem this time? How do I take this fallen time, you know, I mean, this time in this fallen world, and how do I offer it as a sacrifice? How do I offer it as an offering? How do I redeem it, and how do I make it holy? And the reason I think that's such an interesting question is that the answer is not to squeeze every last millisecond out of it in productivity. And the answer is not to sit back and do nothing. But the answer could be either one of those, right? I mean, like, there are times when the best thing you can do to redeem the time is to sit down and do nothing. Mm-hmm. The best thing you do to redeem the time might be to read a book, even if it's not one that is, you know, I'm not talking about, like, you know, read a book like a theological treatise. I mean, you know, it might be to read a fun book. You know what I mean? Like, it might be to, the best thing to do with the time might be to play with a kid, right? And there are other times that the best thing to do with the time is to not sleep and work your everlasting tail off to get something done that's really important that needs to be done, to drive all night to help a friend, to sit up and mourn with somebody who's suffering. I mean, like, you know, in other words, there's not a formula here, which I'm very nervous about formulas. But it is a question that I think can be really important. You know, what does it mean to redeem the time? And, you know, as a young adult, you're like, well, I don't know what that means. Exactly. that shouldn't be a problem for you. That should be a curiosity point. Well, what would it take for you to figure out what that means? And that could be everything from seeking out a mentor to practicing it to see what happens, to praying over it, which should be a part of this no matter what, to going to scripture to find some of this stuff out, to, you know, reading a book and learning more about it. You know what I mean? Like, there could be a whole wealth of things that you'd answer that. But it starts with, I have time. What would it mean to redeem this? And all of a sudden, just that very word and that thought gives time purpose in a way that can be extraordinarily powerful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think just the part that, at least of my experience and the experience that I've observed of a lot of the young people around me is that just they know that there's just like, okay, I should be doing something better. I should be doing something like using my time well. And just determining what exactly that looks like is hard. And I think, for one thing, there is an element of which, like, say, just acknowledging the fact that it isn't a formula and that there's not always going to be an exactly right answer. And you're not going to, like, just do the one thing and just always be 100% sure. Yeah, that was exactly the thing that God wanted, you know, that was just like the holiest use of my time necessarily. Like, you're going to have that. There's going to be some points that just were like, I would like to be doing X thing, but I kind of feel like I should rest in order so that I can make sure that I have enough energy to do the other things in my life that are priorities. And sometimes you just kind of have to experiment and just figure it out as you go along, I feel like. So I think just acknowledging the fact that, like, both can be very viable options and that you need a little bit of sometimes just putting your nose to the grindstone and other times you just need to stop and just not do the intense things. I think acknowledging both of those at different points is important.
I think that that's correct. And I think that, again, there's a series of questions that can help and to clarify and to focus here. And some of it is sometimes to push to the extremes, like, you know, what would be good and what would be bad if it was repeated long term? And what are some base realities? And so here's some base realities that might be helpful if you're a young person, you find yourself with a lot of time and not sure what to do with it. The first thing would be to think about this. I'm convinced that one of the central themes of Scripture is that you have a purpose. And we say this in our Navigate course, so, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't taken Navigate, here's what we're going to tell you what purpose of life is. You know, the purpose of your life as a Christian is easy in the sense that it's clearly commanded. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, I would even say that you can go a little further. There's different denominational structures that might emphasize and focus that in some interesting ways, but they all come down to this base level thing. You know, what is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Okay, so you have a purpose to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, it's to do God's work and to live according to God's will. Now, there's two elements to that. So let's start with the first one. I'm convinced that a central theme is that we have a purpose outlined there. Mm-hmm. And there, consequently, the enemy's best tactic is to make us think we don't have a purpose. And so just any distraction that takes you away from remembering that you have a purpose by definition is a win for that which opposes you, right? I mean, like, because now it's just like you're just drifting. You're not doing anything. You're not accomplishing anything. And this isn't about doing, like, as in, like, accomplishing stuff and, like, getting things done. this is in redeeming the time, right? If you feel like you have no purpose, or if you're not thinking about your purpose in a fairly constant way, you'll drift. And as you drift, there's no redemption of time happening.
Yeah, I think an easy way to think about this is that I think pretty much all of us have experienced different points where just like you reach the end of the day and like you realize that you like you take a break from things and you just have that, huh, okay, like the I've worked really hard and now I am resting and like this feels good and this feels like the thing that I needed. And then there's other times where you reach the end of a day and you're doing nothing and you're doing the same things as in the previous example, but you just feel this sort of like restlessness or dissatisfaction of just like, ah, man, like what, like, am I actually doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now? There's like, I think pretty much all of us have experienced that difference at some level, which is what
right.
you're talking
same,
about.
Same activity, but there's a lack of purpose because there's mm-hmm. a lack of question. And then mm-hmm. the second thing goes with purpose, which I think a central thing that we have to look at is that, you know, you are called to overcome and you are called to reject the world and you are called to sacrifice yourself and to pick up your cross and follow Christ, to crucify yourself to your own desires. I mean, like all those things. Well, you know, just a cursory look at that is like none of that stuff appears to be natural. It doesn't appear to be mm-hmm. easy. It doesn't appear to be something that you would just naturally do. So there's this distinct element of discipline that runs through all of Scripture, right? Like there is a level of rejecting your base nature, of rejecting your own desires, of rejecting the way things are done and everybody else is doing it, that is inherent to the Christian life. And so consequently, there's an element of discipline here. So when you think about purpose and discipline as being absolutely essential to living a life of faithfulness, being faithful, then when you're asked to redeem the time, then my guess is that there's some element of discipline and purposefulness to that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm being cautious here because it's so easy to take those words and say, well, discipline always means doing more push-ups. Discipline always means working harder. Discipline, that's true, and that's not bad things. Those can be incredibly good things. But I'm not saying discipline equals productivity. I'm talking about, and I have said this before, Jocko Willink made this phrase famous. I checked my notes, and I was giving presentations on this before Jocko Willink brought to light, so this is not plagiarism. I'm totally fine with him using it, but I was not plagiarizing. But we actually did presentations a couple years before Jocko's book called Discipline Equals Freedom. And I don't think I said, I think it was discipline is the key to freedom, is the way we set it up. And the point here is that if you want real freedom, it comes through discipline. And mm-hmm. so that would also be true if you want real rest, it comes through discipline. And to your point, Dave, that you just made there, there's an extreme difference between resting when it's doing nothing in an afternoon because it's a Saturday and Saturdays are for doing nothing, right? Mm-hmm. I would submit to you that ultimately that it ends up being very hollow and unsatisfying. And that's certainly the case for me, but I think that's pretty universal, right? Versus the discipline of, and I'm just thinking about my own life here, I will split wood all morning and I will rest all afternoon. Now, there is an intentionality about that. There's a purpose to that. And now it's like, how do I redeem this time? Well, for me, that would be, I will split this wood with an understanding of splitting this wood helps me physically. It helps my family by keeping them warm. It helps us financially by helping us not burn oil in an uninsulated old farmhouse. So those are really good things, right? It is stewarding the resources I've been given and has been using the gifts that God has given me in a productive fashion. And there's labor to that. So while splitting wood is hard and it's physically demanding, there is something to rejoice in that and to be grateful for it. And so I'm going to redeem it by doing something productive with this time as an act of worship and thankfulness for the fact that I'm able to do it. And then what I have decided that I'm going to rest after I split the wood that afternoon, I mean, you know, after in the morning of that afternoon, I'm going to rest. Then that is a focused time of rest where I'm giving thanks for the fact that I don't have to work constantly to feed myself, that God has provided for me in ways that I'm not responsible for, that I have a roof over my head, even if the walls are uninsulated, that I have family and friends to do things with, and that the opportunity to invest in those relationships and to relax after having put in good effort is a good thing and one that I am grateful for. And I can do that resting in the fact that even though I have lots and lots of things that need to be done, I'm not God. And God has called me to rest, and I'm resting as an act of worship to him and as a way of reconnecting with him and also trusting him and saying, Lord, I have all these things to do. There's more wood to be split. And by resting now, I am trusting that you will provide in the future for me either a way to split the wood or enough money to pay the oil to heat the house. Either way, that's a God thing, not a Jonathan thing. And look, for me, that's an important reminder, because it's so tempting to think that I can get myself out of all these messes. At other times, it's really tempting to think that I can't get myself out of any messes, right? And either one of those is the answer is a reliance on God. And so, Dave, that's what I mean by redeeming the time. When you redeem it, there's some measure of applying discipline and applying purpose to it that then tends to not yield a formula for what you should do, but yields an attitude to how you're doing it that often lends itself to a better use of time.
Feeling stuck with traditional higher education? You're not alone. Many students want something that actually prepares them for life. That's where Ascend by Unbound comes in. Ascend blends flexible learning with real-world projects, mentorship, and a Christian community to help young adults thrive. From certificates to degrees, you'll gain the skills, experience, and network you need for your future. Ready for a different path? Visit beunbound.us/ascend today. Yeah, yeah. What you were saying reminds me of what Scott Grant, who is one of our speakers at one of our events that comes back time and time again. And every time I hear him speak and say this, it rings true, is that one of the biggest things that you can do to just like help yourself as an individual is just to find at least one thing every single day that you are like saying no to that you would really prefer to do, or just like saying yes to one really challenging thing, just like putting yourself out of your comfort zone at least a little bit every single day. If that's not something that you're doing on a daily basis, then it's worth trying to find an area where you can work that into your daily routine. And I think that's really powerful. And the other thing that I think the theme that I saw kind of flow through a lot of what you said there, Jonathan, that I think is probably like my biggest takeaway in just this whole conversation and how I've been thinking about it, is the fact that in looking to redeem our time, which I think you laid out really well for us, in trying to see how can I use my time to build the kingdom of God, which is ultimately the purpose that we as Christians are on this earth for. How do I do that? Well, if you're asking kind of the right questions, is that, well, the kingdom of God is eternal. How do I invest in eternal things? Well, the only truly eternal things that we're going to interact with are other people. And so investing in other people, investing in the communities that God has put you in, is one of the best ways to do that. Now, that can look a lot of different ways. That can have a vast number of possibilities in how that actually plays out. And that just depends on the situation that you personally are in, the giftings that God has given you, the community that God has given you. But there is a ton of different ways you can do that. Sometimes that is very directly. Sometimes that is inviting the neighbors over for coffee and, you know, just or inviting them over for a meal. Sometimes that is going over to just have a conversation with a friend, or going out to, you know, do something enjoyable with them when you know that they need some, you know, time to be able to kind of decompress and have time with a friend. Or it could be, you could potentially be doing something that is building up your own skill. Maybe you're wanting to work on a skill that will allow you to bless others at another time. Maybe you're working on your ability to, you know, make and repair clothes, or, you know, sometimes, and like in my case, it was work on computers. And that in and of itself, when I'm actually going about the action, isn't necessarily in community. But if I am keeping in mind the purpose of it, if I know that the reason that I'm doing this is because it's going to be able to be something that can bless other people, that is of eternal value, that changes the value of it drastically. And that is what really, in my opinion, just allows you to have such a different view on how you can use your time in a way that really does build the kingdom of God and just frees you up in how that can look.
Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal point, David. And I think that just, when we're talking about this discipline thing, you know, we've talked about this before in the podcast, and I've spoken about it at length, and we've talked to our students about this a lot. But, you know, this simple discipline of reminding ourselves that you never have met a mere mortal, and to quote C.S. Lewis. And so, and I've shared lots of times, you know, one of my personal disciplines is that when I see a stranger for the first time, I try to train myself that the first thing I say in my mind is made in the image of God. And it is quite remarkable. It's, I would say, bordering on the miraculous, how that can change your life. If you have that fierce focus that, like, the first time I lay eyes on somebody, made in the image of God, made in the image of God. And it's easy if you're in church and it's with people you know, and then it's easy if you're with people you like. And then it gets harder when you've got people that are driving you crazy, or when you're in places that you're worried about people. And this doesn't mean to be naive. Made in the image of God, made in the image of God, made in the image of God, quite possibly inhabited by a demon right now. Pay attention to that one. I mean that, like, they're still made in the image of God, but they may have evil desires. And so you don't get a license to be naive here. But there's a necessity to, I mean, there's a discipline to that. In this sense, David, there's a discipline here also in that, you know, just we tell our students, like, you know, take the little discipline act of just reviewing when something happens. Did that go well? Did that go badly? Why? Not some deep, you know, journal it out for 50 pages. That's fine if you're into that thing. Most people aren't. But it's just like just that kind of reflective, like, evaluation. Well, one of those is, you know, how does this way I'm using this time relate to a person? How does this way I'm using this time relate to my relationship with Christ, right? And it that doesn't have to be like this super deep thing. It can just be a little reminder, you know? I'm splitting this wood. Why? Because it's helping me to serve my family. Also, it's giving me strength that allowed me to protect and to work in a way to continue to provide for my family. Also, in doing so, it's an act of worship to God. And there's a thankfulness to this as I'm swinging them all that says, you know, every time the wood splits, thank you, Lord, for providing this, that I have this opportunity. You know, those are really subtle, but they're not subtle in outcome. In other words, they're little things to think about. This isn't like some big formula or 20-point list or a big journal entry. This is just a small reminder to yourself of why and its purpose. And in doing so, you'll build this core habit that starts to reorder your entire life. You know, it gives meaning to things that seemed mundane. It gives holiness to simple moments. It returns perspective to your life. It creates an attitude of gratefulness. These are really powerful things, and they don't require massive overhauls of your entire life system. They require a simple question and a consistency in applying it.
Yeah, not at all to undermine or disagree with that, but I think just a note on that is that I just know from my own personal experience that it's very easy to hear something like that and go, okay, now I have to measure every single thing that I do and make sure that it's meeting that certain standard of, like, oh, it has to be a certain degree to which, like, it is affecting another person or is, like, for another person. And, you know, not like if I dream of doing something that is outside or underneath that certain standard, then, you know, that's a horrible thing to do. And then that brings on all sorts of guilt and shame. And I think it's pretty confident that that's not what we're saying, is that this is a tool. This is an evaluation tool. It's not a measuring stick standard that, like, you must live by in order to earn God's favor. In reality, like, there may be times where it just, the thing that you can do to invest in other people is to just take a nap. And because you may be really tired, and if you go and try to do anything else that is investing in other people directly, and you're really cranky because you're really tired, then that's not investing in them well. And sometimes the best way to steward those relationships in that community is to just have the opportunity to rest and to reset. And that's okay, just because it's not directly impacting somebody else. It is ultimately contributing to that. And so just an encouragement, I think, as we're just wrapping this up and kind of making sure that we communicate all of the different aspects of this, that this is just, we're hoping that this is just a way that you can look at things and have a little framework to understand how you can use your time well. And again, like we mentioned earlier, there's going to be times where you get it right and there's going to be times when you don't, and both are okay.
Well, that's an excellent corrective and something we should definitely make note of. Maybe an analogy to run here. You know, I think there's a temptation every time somebody brings up something that looks or is adjacent to a spiritual discipline, there's this constant concern about, will this devolve into legalism or perfectionism, all those kinds of things. And the answer is yes. That's apparently a favorite tactic that's quite effective. I mean, that's a great way to mislead somebody. So it's always worth noting. But sometimes just an analogy to help understand this. You know, that's the difference between, you know, you're in a slave labor camp and you're doing work that's hard and physical because you're going to get beat, executed, or starved if you don't do it, right? That's no fun, but that's labor. So let's talk about, you know, you're doing extreme physical exertion outside and you're doing it for that reason. Okay, that's not healthy. However, there's a tremendous amount of people who go and do extreme physical exertion outside in the heat, 2-a-days football camps, all kinds of sports camps, soccer, cross country. David, you're a runner. I'm a runner. we're not even on teams and we voluntarily do this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so you run this summer, you know, it's been a brutally, extraordinarily hot summer
not
in
fun.
Virginia.
Not fun at all.
And so, but you know, it's like people are you doing that because you're going to be starved? No. That you're going to be beaten? No. That you're going to be, you know, you're not doing that on a slave labor thing. You're doing that because it's an exertion of discipline, because it helps you to get to something bigger. And it can be absolutely, it can be as miserable running in the middle of the heat as it could be doing labor in a slave labor camp. But everything's different because you're doing it by choice for a greater good. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual discipline and these things, right? You know, this is not about earning something, and it's not about avoiding something negative. This is about the opportunity to participate in the restoration of all things. And, you know, this the fully understand this and to be able to be a part of the redemption of time, that's the opportunity. And it's an exciting opportunity. It's a blessed opportunity. And it's one that you enter into willingly, just like you would willingly run in the heat because you're getting ready for that race that you care about. And so I think that might be a helpful corrective mm-hmm. as we think about this. And maybe a good note to end on, which is, you know, here's the thing to think about. Here's a corrective. Now, it's not a formula, but, you mm-hmm. know, there is a way here for you to redeem this time. Do we know what it looks like? No, we're not living your life. We have no, your listeners, I have no idea what your life looks like. And if somebody's telling you that they do and you should do these things, you should run from those people, right? Mm-hmm. But we are saying the time is precious. We don't know how much we have of it. It is measured, right? And so you want to redeem it. So what does it look like for you to redeem the time? And ask that question, but ask it with a spirit of gratefulness and a spirit of gratitude, a spirit of worship, and a spirit of excitement, and see where mm-hmm. it leads. And you'll get some of it right and some of it wrong. And, you know, bad news, that continues. I won't sit here on this microphone and say, oh, I redeemed the time perfectly well all the time. No, yesterday, I can think of things I did that didn't redeem the time wisely. But I can tell you that I redeem it better than I did 10 years ago and probably better than I did 20 years ago. And that, you know, little by little, you get to learn more and more. And my life has become richer and more exciting because of that.
It's so fun to have these conversations where we get to just look at the practical side of like how the Christian life is freeing and liberating in that sense. And we get to just look at things that are as simple, but potentially as stressful as just what we do with our time, and get to see that there is so much excitement and so much hope and potential in those things. And yeah, very, very excited to have that and to have looked at that today.
Well, let's consider a situation where you might be 16 years or older, and you're sitting around with a lot of free time in your hands, and you're thinking, how can we best redeem that time? And as people, no, we just said we didn't do this. Well, anyhow, maybe we'll make an exception, right? But, you know, if we did have an idea of what you could do with that time, maybe we suggest that one of the ways that we maybe could help you redeem that time is by using it in ways that allows you to figure out what's next, that helps you to develop marketable skills that you can use in a variety of different careers, and to do it in a way that connects you to a community of people that will likely have an impact on you for the rest of your life. If that sounds pretty interesting, then boy, have we got a suggestion for you in terms of redeeming that time, which is go to beunbound.us and you can check out our programs. In this case, if you're 16 years or older, the Ascend program that could help you redeem your time. But we also offer opportunities for high school students and a variety of courses, all of which are, you know, around themes that you'll be familiar to you if you're listening to this podcast in terms of how do we live in a way that allows you to thrive, which is just a way to say, not just to exist, but to really get the full measure out of this wonderful, beautiful, special life that you've been given, and do it in a way that has an impact on other people, that serves your God, and is an exciting, rich life for you as well. And if you're looking for some ideas on how to do that and some programs and some resources, then beunbound.us would be a great place to start. And we'd love to talk to you and perhaps see you soon. As we record this episode, we are not too far away, closer than we'd like to think, because there's too many things to be done between now and then.
Oh boy.
Not too far away from leaving for APEX, which is our first national event for the year for the Ascend programs and some of our high school programs. And we're looking forward, if you are listening to this and going to be there, we will see you at APEX soon. Or perhaps when you listen to this, we would have just seen you at APEX and we had a great time with you. Either way, until we talk to you again, be inbound.
Hi, my name's Jess, and I just completed the Ascend Foundations program this past year, and I wanted to share what that looks like, some of the results, and why I won't be enrolling for another year, even though I absolutely loved it. So Ascend really enabled me to go outside of my comfort zone and learn new things in a safe environment And with the leadership course, that looked like me learning a lot about my identity, my spiritual gifts, my strengths and weaknesses, the things that God has put on my heart to do, the stuff that I'm passionate about, my in-person interactions with my team and all of the in-person events throughout the year really taught me to just work functionally like in a team and to contribute and empower other people, and also to practically like execute goals and vision casting, planning, all of that, to do actual projects. I was able to write an original song and record a music video with a group of students, which is amazing. And everything that I learned by doing that and going through that process, I'm able to apply to my own projects, my own goals, my own aspirations, even at work or, you know, through church. And so that's super cool that I'm able to apply those things just for the rest of my life. I'm going to be using it. And lastly, through the Navigate program, I learned how to be curious about opportunities and about decisions and just being willing to try new things and not being afraid of failure, which really took a weight off of me and helped me to not be so afraid of growing up, because it can be a scary thing. And because of that mentality switch, I'm going to be looking into studying homeopathy, which is a form of natural medicine, instead of re-enrolling in Ascend. I just heard some things about it. I had used it, you know, when I had gotten sick a couple of times, and I just got curious, like I was taught this past year. And I started looking into it, and I got excited about it, and prayed about it, and that's where the Lord's leading me. So I'm really grateful to Ascend, to all the staff, to everyone who, you know, led the workshops and encouraged me. And I'm really thankful for that switch in my mind to just be excited and to be hopeful about life and to try new things and to just get out there to learn hands-on and apply what I learned to other projects. And so I highly recommend for anyone who is a little unsure about what they're doing this next season of life, or if you just need some encouragement or to kind of reset, it is an awesome experience to be constantly encouraged and just hearing things from scripture about how we live life and how to thrive.